Hello, everyone, and welcome to another preview show here of another monument. Actually, the first one. Sorry, Patrick. Strada isn't a monument. Milan San Remo, La Primavera. And today we're going to discuss the route, the favorites, the predictions, everything. And as I said, I'm here with Patrick Blake of Adu Cycling. And yeah, Patrick, Milan San Remo, what kind of sticks to your mind when you think of this race?
I think that San Remo... I got into a Twitter spat about this, but I think that San Remo provides the guaranteed 10k like best racing of the year. And you know in San Remo that if you tune in for the last 20k, you're going to get action, and you know that it's going to happen in the last 20k's. Whereas I don't think you get that with other races. In some other big races, some other monuments, the race can be decided with 20k to go. Whereas I feel like with San Remo, it's always quite, this is big crescendo up to the Poggio. And I really like that. I know that it is a really long race and it's a bit of a snooze fest. But I think if you tune in for the last, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, I think you're in for a real treat. And we've had some fantastic additions. Of course, Vanderpool winning it last year. I mean, I looked at a stat. I don't think any rider has, well, like the last 10 years, we've had a different winner each time, which is an incredible stat when you think about it. I'm not sure if there are many races which can say that. And that just really shows the lottery element of San Remo. You can be in good form or whatever, and you can be the best rider. But I think it's a really hard race to win. There's the age-old saying of it's the easiest monument to finish, but it's the hardest one to win. Just because there's so many riders who can be competitive. So I really love this race. I think that it is underrated in my eyes.
Famously, the only monument that Philippe Gilbert didn't win, unfortunately. Finished on the podium, though. But yeah, that last year's edition, we really had the Galacticos up there with Ghana as well. Ghana surprising. But that big punch by Mathieu Van Der Poel, I think that was actually the fastest ascent of the Poggio I saw in an article. But yeah, I mean, we'll get into it. But in terms, before we go into the favorites, Patrick, what does the route look like? Well, has it changed much?
It's 288 kilometers. So it is the longest race of the year. It is a slightly different start. So it doesn't actually start in Milan. It starts in Pavia, which is just south of Milan. And then we'll make our way down to the Mediterranean coastline. And then we just head along there in the very standard route, taking in some little climbs, including, obviously, the Gepressa, which is 5.6 kilometers at an average of 4.1%. The first few Ks of that, first 4 Ks of that, averaging 5%. And then we move on to the Poggio, which is 3.7 kilometers at 3.7%. The steeper gradients coming in the first half of a maximum gradient of 8% before we drop down the hair-raising descent, which we've seen lots of fantastic descending on show the last few years. And then that takes us down onto the Via Roma and down into San Remo. Pretty basic. So basically, anything that changes year on year is where it starts and kind of who sponsors the start. But we always end up on the coastal route with the Gepressa and the Poggio, as per usual. The suspected weather at the moment is it's going to be a fine day, and it could be a tailwind, actually. So that could make the Gepressa and Poggio a little bit harder with there's a bit less draft. By sitting in the wheels just means that maybe we'll get some faster ascents. So that could certainly open up the day. But it looks like it's going to be very dry, very sunny. So no risk of rain at the moment. Yeah, it looks like we won't have any crazy weather taking place to kind of ruin the race, which is good to see.
Well, we might as well start with the double world champion in terms of what the titles he's currently defending. In the cyclocross and on the road, Mathieu Van Der Poel, we've already mentioned it, won it last year. He's already won Paris-Roubaix, he's already won Tour of Flanders and here. But yeah, going into this season, no road preparation whatsoever. He did the same thing a few years ago, finished third. And as you mentioned in the Echelon Cycling podcast, that was in some different circumstances. He didn't have like this amazing season like he had this year in the cyclocross, winning all races bar one. It was the one I was at Benidorm. Decided to crash into a pole, but other than that, he was absolutely annihilating the competition in every single round. His last race was the World Championships in Tambov, winning that very comfortably. That was an exhibition ride more than a race, in my opinion. Him and Max Verstappen have very similar dominance when it comes to cyclocross and Formula One, both Dutch, obviously. But yeah, Patrick, in terms of them this year in the Echelon, another shameless plug, you also spoke about the kind of secret weapon that they also have in terms of, well, not secret, plan B of Jasper Philipsen. And that sounds very bad to call Jasper Philipsen arguably the best sprinter a plan B, but he's there nonetheless.
Yeah, Alpecin, they've got a really strong squad. Obviously, they start Mats van der Poel with number one on his back as the defending winner of this race. But like we said, nobody has won this race more than once in the last kind of 10 years. So the odds are against Matthew, but I think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be him. So he has a team including Gogol, Jordi Holman, Søren Kjær Andersen, who was very influential in his victory last year. Axel Laurence makes his debut at this race. Zandelo Moisa, and as you said, Jasper Philipsen, who was looking very good at Tirreno Adriatico, was beaten by Jonathan Milan, but he did also pick up his own victory on the second stage. He did have that slight crash on stage three. So I think Philipsen's a really interesting option, and I think he does provide the insurance policy of perhaps sitting in that group behind if attacks do go off the front, that Philipsen can win from a sprint there. I don't see him following, you know, the attacks of, say, like Pogacar or Matthew or Pedersen or whoever it will be. I think that he is more of, like you say, the insurance policy. And I think that, you know, if it did come back together, Philipsen would have a really good shot of winning this race for sure. But yeah, it's interesting about Matthew. He's got no racing in the legs this year on the road. Last year, he had done Strade Bianche, which didn't go too well. And then in Tirreno, he was leading out Jasper Philipsen, and then he won this race. It's interesting to note that a couple of years ago, he came in off of like some back injuries and stuff in cyclocross, and he finished third. So that is a kind of glimmer of hope that you can come into this race as your first race of the season, and you can still do well. But even the great Matthew only came third on that time round. So we'll have to see if he can come in with no racing in the legs and defend his title from last year.
Yeah, I was searching the records and I couldn't find any rider who's done this. Obviously, most riders before this era always had those pre-races and preparation races. Tirreno, obviously, Paris-Nice. I can't find anyone who's done it. None of the greats, Eddie Merckx, etc., etc. Eddie Merckx obviously has the all-time record in this race, like quite a large amount, 7 in total. But yeah, we might as well move on. You can't say Mats van der Poel these days without saying Tadej Pogacar as well. It is a very hard equation here. It's that one of the strongest kicks in the peloton on not one of the most challenging climbs. And there are guys with a bigger engine in terms of this gradient of climbs. Obviously, he won Flèche Wallonne last year. He won Liège-Bastogne-Liège a few years ago as well. And Lombardia, he's been dominant. Ronde van Vlaanderen, he's such an incredible rider when it comes to these one-day races. And that 81-kilometer attack as well in Strada. But yeah, do you see him doing what will be an Italian hat-trick? Lombardia, Strada, and then Milan-Sanremo.
That would be incredible. I mean, there is a good correlation between riders winning Strada and then going on to winning Sanremo. So that's certainly something in his favour. But like you say, it's, the climbs are just not long enough and not hard enough for Poggi, in theory, to make a difference. But with the tailwind, maybe it could be a little bit different. I really see a scenario where he needs it to be a bit like, I think it was the 2022 edition, where things were really strung out going into the Poggio, where there was only, say, 20-25 riders left. I think that's the best scenario that Poggi can look for. He is supported by Alessandro Covi, Mark Hirschi, Stakerberger Lagan, Brandon McNulty, Damon Novak, and Diego Ulissi. For me, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the strongest team in the world. I'm just thinking about who's going to be the one really lighting it up. You know, you really need somebody who's got, like, that they're almost like a second-tier favourite in their own right to light it up. You could say Hirschi, but I don't know, Hirschi has been a little bit hot and cold. McNulty was good in Paris-Nice. Ulissi, Covi, I'm just kind of thinking who's going to be the guy who's going to be launching Pogacar out of all these guys. Is it going to be Hirschi? Is it going to be McNulty? And I think the fact that we've got questions over that. So I think that it's an okay squad from UE, but I do think that it's perhaps a little bit weak, dare I say. I'm not sure if weak's the right word, but it's a little bit It's not as strong as I thought it would be. I do think that, you know, there are probably stronger teams in this race, but saying that, if Poggi just needs to basically go solo, I think, and that's what we all sort of agree, you know, can he go solo on the Poggio? I think it's going to require his competitors to not be in particularly good form or position to when he launches, which he absolutely will do if last year is anything to go by, because he definitely took about 3 bites at the cherry up the Poggio, and that's really good to see because it's very exciting racing. But I think it's going to be quite hard for Poggi to win this race and, you know, categorically drop his competition on the Poggio.
Do you think an attack on the suppressor is too much? I mean, 81 kilometers away. I know the terrain's not that hard compared to Strada. It's a completely different monument. Trigger warning, moving on. We've seen teams in the past really put a pace on the suppressor, but like the momentum, you just can't carry it forward to the Poggio. So you said as well, he's going to be a favorite. He is a favorite, obviously. We all know what he did at Strada. So any turn of a gear and everyone's going to be on him.
Yeah. He almost just needs to try get a little group away over the top of the Poggio and then ideally counterattack once they've kind of descended onto the Via Roma and just go with somewhere like between 1 to 2 kilometers to go and hope that whoever he's with, they look at each other and decide, oh, I'm not going to be the one to chase that down, and then he goes solo. I think that's a realistic way that Poggi would win this race, is to just go solo with not too long to go, you know, only like a minute still to go, and hope that two other sprinting type guys will just look each other into the abyss and just watch him ride off. But yeah, it's a tricky one. I think that one thing is for certain, which is that Poggi is probably going to be the main animator of this race.
Well, we might as well move on. In terms of, we'll go with your favorite for the race. You mentioned this on this week's Echelon Cycling Podcast episode, and that was that Mads Pedersen, not the Danish person. He didn't say that. The man from Yorkshire said Mads Pedersen is the favorite. And I mean, Lidl Trek, phenomenally strong start to the year. Obviously new colors, well, not quite, but new colors since the Tour de France last year, bringing in Jonathan Milan, who looked very strong, Andrea Bajoli, who was very good in Il Lombardia, and then obviously their crowning jewel right now, Mads Pedersen, who has been very strong in the French races. But yeah, why are you so certain that they're gonna get another win? Obviously they won with Jasper Stuyven, who's also here. But why are you so confident that Mads Pedersen is the guy, the go-to guy for them?
I just believe that Pedersen has just looked so good this year. I think he was climbing really well in Paris-Nice. And I don't see him getting dropped by Poggi. So then the question is really Mathieu van der Poel, whether he can drop everyone like he did last year. But the fact that Mathieu hasn't had the racing so far this year, it does provide a bit of a question mark as to whether he's going to be able to do that. So I'm seeing a scenario where Pedersen can hang with those top guys. We saw it at World Champs last year, just how he was on that same level as like a Wout and Poggi. He was able to hang with them for a very long time. And I could see a scenario where Pedersen is with those guys in a sprint finale. And I do think that if I had to say that in a realistic group of Mathieu, Pogacar and Pedersen, I would say that Pedersen would be the victor. We've seen how good he is after a long attritional day of racing. This isn't the most attritional race, but I do think that Pedersen's really good at the end of a long day of racing. And I think that he's got a really strong team around him. Bajoli, De Klerk, Gibbons, Alex Kirsch, Jonathan Milan, who's been in fantastic form, and Jasper Stuyven. I think it's a very focused team on Pedersen, with maybe Milan acting as a bit of a Phillips encounter in the group behind to kind of be a sprinting insurance policy. And I just like the focused nature we've got on Pedersen. I think he's got all the qualities of somebody who can win this race. We always say how it's a miracle it's a wonder that Sagan never won this race. I feel like Pedersen is in a very similar bracket to what Sagan was back in the day of, you know, 2016, 2017 Sagan. I feel like he's really at that sort of point. And I see no reason why Pedersen can't win this race.
Famously, Pedersen never won Tour of Denmark. But in terms of other teams, I think, yeah, the Hunt analogy, I've never really thought about it. But yeah, you're so right. Can kind of do pretty much anything Sagan's done. He's up there. And yeah, I think that's really, really, we've been focusing so much on Binny being the next Sagan, but I think you're right. Mads Pedersen fits the criteria a bit more. But in terms of Visma Elite bike, the yellow elephant in the room, fortunately, they won't be wearing those horrendous TT helmets. But in terms, well, who knows? They might roll out some road version of it. Let's not go with that. But in terms of this team, there's no Wout van Aert. That's the big headline of this team. But your favorite sprinter, I would say, maybe, Olaf Kooi. They looked very strong at Paris-Nice. And then, obviously, Christophe Laporte, who I really like as well. Really gone through that transformation since joining this team. And in terms of the team, or where they're kind of aiming for, how do they win this race?
You got to hope that Laporte goes with a move that, you know, that goes up the road from one of those guys who we've just previously been talking about. It's a bit 50-50 in my eyes whether Laporte makes that move. I think he's looked so good ever since joining Jumbo-Visma, now Visma-Lisa bike. He was very good in the opening weekend. You know, he really looked like he was barely even trying. And yeah, 10th at Stradi as well. Obviously, I don't think that was a race particularly suited to him. And I like that he's getting leadership here. In a way, I like that Wout isn't here, because it means that we get to see Laporte as a leader of this team. At least I think he's leading. Like you say, Kooi is here. But I do think that he is a bit like Philipsen and Milan, where he is the insurance policy. I just don't see Kooi going with a move. He is a sprinter at the end of the day. I think it would be a bit over the top to see him going with a move of Mathieu van der Poel. But you know what? Strange things have happened. So I see Laporte being the attacking option, Kooi being the kind of defensive insurance policy. Could Laporte win this? If he was in that move that I was hypothetically saying of Pedersen, van der Poel and Poggi, I think that he could have a really good shot. He is very fast in a finish. Could he beat Pedersen? I'd say again, you know, it's a bit of a 50-50. It depends how much Pedersen is working, I think, on the kind of run into the Villaroma. Could it be a bit like 2017 where Kwiatkowski won? They were just kind of rinsing Sagan, making him work on the front because he's the fastest. Whether everybody does that with Pedersen and then Laporte can kind of capitalize on that. I think that's certainly an option. So I think Laporte's got a decent shot of winning this race, especially since the other rest of the team, Stan Amittet, Van der Sander, the two Van Dijkers, and also Julien Vermote, it's very focused around those two riders of Laporte and Kooi. So I think he's got a really good shot.
Well, we might as well go to some, well, okay, it's a bit disrespectful to put Matej Moric in the other bracket, so we won't do that. Barring Victorious, obviously, we all know that sensational descent he did down the Poggio with the, what was it called, the dropper post or whatever. An incredible rider. Like, I've followed this guy since he won the Junior World Championships and then went on to win the Under-23 World Championships. I really think he's in a league of his own on some respect, and he's not quite like, how do you define a Matej Moric? I always thought that was a real struggle. He's not a puncher, he's not really an all and out hobbles rider. He's like this enigma of a rider, but yeah, very good form this year. You predicted him to win the opening stage, well, one of the stages on Tour Valencia. Your connection with him is apparently quite good because he did exactly that. Yeah, but where does he kind of fit into this favorites bracket, outsiders bracket? Is anyone going to really be looking at him? If he goes, is he going to be following the moves of a Mathieu van der Poel attack? Or, yeah, is he going to be the kind of rider that benefits off the big guys looking at each other too much?
I think he could do. I could definitely see a scenario where, because we don't have Wout van Aert here, we are down to, you know, a questionable Van der Poel with no racing, Poggi and Pedersen. So I'd say it's really, you know, maybe on Poggi and Pedersen to do the attacking on the Poggio. And if they get a bit fed up of that and say, well, you know, I'm just shooting all my bullets here and nothing's coming of it, and Mohoric is still in the wheel, then it's very possible we could have a 2022 repeat where all of a sudden Mohoric just goes off the front on the descent. And, you know, the last 2K is like a average gradient of minus 0.4%, which doesn't seem like much, but the fact that it's just slightly downhill towards pretty much the last kilometer, which is the only real like absolutely flat part, it just allows you to carry that momentum, keep it in the 11 or the 10 or, you know, whatever gears they're using, and, you know, just keep that gear rolling. And the Horch is so good at doing that. So I see if the attacks of a Poggio aren't successful, or if it's like Pedersen's like, oh, I'm just going to kind of play it defensive for a sprint, Mohoric could go off the front again. It's not completely unprecedented. If he rocks up with a dropper seat post, I think everyone should be a little bit afraid that that is what's going to happen, because I think you're right. Nobody's got the cahoolies to go with Matej Mohoric.
Yeah, I think we should move into like kind of the outsiders. There are other champions here as well. Alexander Kristoff, yeah, he's also on the start list. These kind of riders winning more in that other era where it was more sprint, well, the sprinters, well, dominated the finish of this race. Julian Philippe obviously here as well. There's question marks over his form. Kilbjørn obviously a serial second place finisher with Jake Ayula. Interestingly, Arne Dili that we hyped up so much last year to try and maybe win this, he isn't here. Form, that bad form that he's been carrying this season, obviously not really lending itself to going here, which is good. We don't want to see him finish 86th or something. And then we also have like Binyam Girmay. He looked quite comfortable in Tirreno, but did leave that final stage. We spoke about that in the recaps here on the channel. And EF Education Easy Purse bringing somewhat of a interesting squad as well. And yeah, Patrick, is there anyone really you're thinking of? You were talking about the Decathlon AG2R potentially being an outsider as well.
Yeah, Benoit Cousinofoise looked really good this year, in my opinion. He usually just is a little bit hot and cold. He just goes really good in some races and then just does nothing. But he seems to have a decent level of consistency. He was quite good at Stade. It's very easy to forget, but he was sixth place in that race, which I think is really good for him, to be honest with you. And yeah, so I'm favouring him. I mean, we've also got Oliver Narsen, who, you know, very easy to forget. He's finished in second place in this race back in 2019. So he's certainly not to be sniffed at, considering that I think he had a very good opening weekend, even though he didn't finish Paris-Nice. So that's a little bit of a question mark. It's a little bit criminal of me, but I haven't even talked about Tom Pidcock yet. Ineos just have been a little bit weird so far this year. I don't know what it is, but they just haven't been quite hitting the mark. I think Ganna had some better results before San Remo last year. You know, he did San Juan. He won the TT in Tirreno in very convincing fashion, whereas he got beaten by Juan Ayuso this time round. And he was a little bit AFK for the rest of the race, to be honest with you. Pidcock, on the other hand, you know, decent at Stade. He came 9th in GC at Tirreno, 8th in Omloop, 6th in GC at Volta Algarve. It's a decent string of results, but it's just, can he go with that attack if it does go? He is a fantastic descender, so therefore there's no real reason why he couldn't do a Mohoric, I guess, if you want to call it that. So I think that maybe I've been sleeping on Pidcock a little bit. Just maybe he is a little bit of a, dare I say, dark horse of this race. I don't think maybe a lot of people are talking about him for this race, but Ineos, you've got the previous winner in Kwiatkowski. Ganna was very good last year in this race. Maybe Pidcock is being a bit underrated for this race, and he's a little bit under the radar, but he's certainly one to not be sniffed at.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. He's one of the best descenders as well in the peloton. I know he downplays his descending and said that descent in the Tour de France, everyone does that, the cameras are just not on when people do that. I was like, yeah, whatever, Pidcock, we saw your Strade descent, that was incredible. So in terms of, yeah, I think that covers basically the outsiders for the most part. And we're thinking it might not be the sprinters who takes and dominates this, but we'll wait and see. But in terms of our favorite part of the show, Patrick, predictions, and how do you think that this year's edition going? And obviously, because we sadly missed the Tirreno and the Paris-Nice previews, we haven't actually done one for, we the last one we did was Omloop, and you got it right with Trapnik, so pressure's on.
Yeah, it is on. It's such a hard one to predict.
Well, we had Strada, Did you get, well, you got Strada as well, but
I said that Pogge was going to win, but I don't think that was a particularly
prediction. You're on a good streak. That's what we're trying to
good
say.
Streak.
This could be your hat trick.
I'm going to go with
dum dum.
I think Mats Pedersen comes in third.
Wait, what?
I'm covering a different.
Wait, the echelon you specifically said Mats Pedersen was winning. And I was like, yes, first Danish winner, Milan-San Remo, in your face, Norway, with your crystal win. But you've just discarded all that. You're playing the game.
Basis here. This way I can try and, you know,
get your
doubly smart. I think Pedersen in third. I think Poggi comes second. And I think that Visma Lietzabike continue their fantastic run. And I think that Christophe Laporte wins Milan-San Remo. I think that Mathieu just doesn't have the legs to go with it on the Poggio because doesn't have the racing. It's a bold call, but I'm not certain about Mathieu.
I am a bit worried because every time he does the first race, it's normally like the Strada we saw as well. He wasn't there when that was his first race, and then the next race back to winning ways. So, but you kind of stole my winner. So, I backed Laporte for Strada and he finished 10th, so maybe you can convert it. Okay. I think that we're going to have third place will be Olav Kjær. Second place will be Jasper Philipsen. And the lone winner at the front will be the man who finished the hat-trick, Tadej Pogačar, wins Milan-San Remo as the second ever Slovenian and gets his fourth out of his fifth monument. And that's because I love these monuments. I desperately want someone to finish this collection. Not that it changes anything, but yeah.
I'd like to see somebody get all five as well. It would be a really big achievement. And I think that Poggi's got the best shot of doing it.
Pog on three and Mathieu van der Poel on three.
Yeah, but there's no way. Like, Van der Poel's going to win a really weird edition of Lombardia to complete his set.
Well, we might as well do a bonus one as well. Where do you think? Who should we go for? Pick a rider and we'll.
Well, just a random one.
Yeah. No, or you could go random or former champion.
Let's go Pidcock.
Oof. 12th.
I think he'll come 8th.
Okay, watch him win now. Anyways, that's basically it for our preview show here of Milan-San Remo 2024. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, that really helps, and comment down below who you think is going to win. So perhaps as a community, we can get it correct, as Patrick got Strada Bianchi correct. Several of you got Strada right. Strada right as well. And if you haven't already as well, make sure to check out Patrick's own channel, Audio Cycling. And if you want to see more of him, go on the Echelon Cycling Podcast, because that's the channel where you can see the most of him. But with that, thank you for watching, and we will see you around.